The word of God given to us today is Luke chapter 12, verses 22 through 31. That's Luke 12, 22 through 31. Allow me to read the words of God. Then Jesus said to his disciples, "Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, or about your body, what you will wear. For life is more than food, and the body more than clothes. Consider the ravens. They do not sow or reap. They have no storeroom or barn, yet God feeds them. And how much more valuable you are than birds. Who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to your life? Since you cannot do this very little thing, why do you worry about the rest? Consider how the wildflowers grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you, not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today, and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, how much more will he clothe you, you of little faith? And do not set your heart on what you will eat or drink. Do not worry about it, for the pagan world runs after all such things, and your Father knows that you need them. But seek his kingdom, and these things will be given to you as well." Amen. As announced in the church announcement, there will be special early morning prayer services starting tomorrow for a week. The special early morning prayer services are held annually with two different meanings. First of all, we seek to remember Jesus who was crucified for us and to look back upon our lives. God told the descendants of Israel to keep three annual feasts of Passover, Feast of Weeks, Feast of Tabernacles. The most important feast among them is the Passover, because if they failed to escape from Egypt in the Passover, the Feast of Weeks and the Feast of Tabernacles couldn't exist. The most important feast in Christian faith is Easter. Without resurrection of Jesus, there is no everlasting life for us. And the resurrection of Jesus is only possible when Jesus died on the cross. So looking back upon our lives, if we live as God's children who were saved through the passion of Jesus and making mind to live righteously through the words, this is the first reason that we have a special early morning prayer sessions. Second, praying before beginning a day should be part of our daily life. There might be no Christian who pursues to live as God's will and does not want to pray. But the number of Christians who actually pray are less than we thought. Moreover, it is a rare case to pray on a daily basis. This is why praying for Christians is like writing journals or doing home projects, which was postponed. A life of those who begin a day by praying and that of those who start by hectically rushing should not be the same. Praying is the time when we make our eye contact with God and tie ourselves to God. By meeting God alone, we fill our hearts with God and the words of God. Through such process, worship becomes our daily life, and the life becomes worship. Only those who make prayer as part of daily life could lead their everyday life in a meaningful and valuable way and would not regret the way they live at the end of their life. special early morning services are how we make ourselves as prayer becomes part of our daily life. It is true that attending special early morning prayer sessions will be the stepping stone to help prayer become part of our daily life, but it is not necessarily for everyone to come to church. Those who live near the church or who wish to come would physically attend the service, but those who live far from the church or have bad health conditions could take part in the service at home online. It is also available to join the service not only in the early morning but also at a different time through the recorded video. Aside from the special early morning prayer service, early morning prayer services from Monday through Saturday are being aired live every day. If we could successfully make morning prayer a part of our life through this special early morning prayer service on Passover, and start every day with God, our life and faith will be much more mature, full, and noble. A man who was arguing with his brother over inheritance came to Jesus and asked him for his intervention. Jesus then told him the parable of the rich fool who was interested in harvested crop but took no interest in his spirit and said to abandon his desires. Jesus went on to say what the disciple should seek and what Jesus truly wanted to give. People usually eager to have something physical to eat or to put on. There are newly coined terms in Korea such as asa and insa. A dictionary definition of asa in Korean is to express an exciting feeling or when things going so well, but it is recently used to mean an abbreviation of outsider, indicating a person who has trouble in making friends. In contrast, insa or insider is used as an abbreviation for insiders who actively participate in meetings and events and get along well with others. People believe that they are recognized by being an insider for a specific group that they wanted to belong to. Then they should possess as much as others and have social position as high as others, and they should enjoy as fully as others. However, it does not feel the emptiness one might feel inside. Although they had a great time as an insider being recognized among others, they get home and feel lonely and breathe a deep sigh. In addition, not a few people voluntarily choose to be an outsider so that they could live an independent life. It is better than being an insider disguising themselves not to be an outsider, but considering that humans are finite, there's no one who could satisfy their own life. For Christians, the more crucial thing than insider or outsider is to become a life-sider or God-sider. That is how we could live a life with no worrying. So the verse 25 and 26 of today's scripture testify as follows. Who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to your life? Since you cannot do this very little thing, why do you worry about the rest? The word helikia, translated as height, can also be translated as age, as mentioned last Sunday. There are times when we comfort others by saying, no need to worry, mostly when we recognize an opportunity. Don't worry because your grades are not good. If you work harder, then you will get higher grades. Don't worry because you failed to get a job. You will soon get one. Do not worry because you broke up with your boy or girlfriend. You'll meet a better one next time. However, God used such expressions to mean in an opposite way. Do not worry. By worrying can add not a single hour to your life. When you can't change anything about it, worrying can be no help or encouragement. In other words, we cannot take responsibility for our life. And there's another one who does. In verse 27, consider how the wildflowers grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I'll tell you, not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. Jesus, who said to consider ravens now, tells us to think about lilies. Faith is a power to think righteously. But we rather take interest in being a man like King Solomon or enjoying what he did rather than thinking. As mentioned last week, King Solomon took the largest territory in the entire history of Israel, received tributes from multiple countries, and the wisdom given by God to him was the greatest out of zillions of people in human history. To put it in a recent way, he had greatest power and wealth with holding doctorate degrees in diverse fields. Not only that, he had 700 concubines and 300 mistresses. He was married to daughters from royal families and families with huge fortune, princesses from neighboring countries, or ladies he just liked. All those were his strategy to maintain his power. This is why Jesus said the glory of Solomon couldn't beat that of a lily in a field. Solomon had received special grace from God since the time of his father David. All of the glory that Solomon enjoyed was given by God, but he thought he made it himself and he needed to keep it by himself. So he had to live worrying all the time. And Jesus tells the life of his worrying life is no better than that of Lily, which is not worrying. The Ecclesiastes, written by Solomon, is like the book of his repentance. Its meaning is a preacher. The Ecclesiastes was written by Solomon not as a king, but as a Christian who looks back on his life and gave a lesson to others as follows. In chapter 12, verse 1, remember your Creator in the days of your youth, before the days of trouble come, and the years approach when you will say, I find no pleasure in them. Solomon repents now his youth when he did not remember God. He thought he might live with power even without God, and his life would be happy and joyful because he was rich and with so many wives. But the truth was that it wasn't happy nor fun or meaningful as he confessed. So he testifies that the most meaningful, healthy, and exciting life would be led by thinking our Creator in a righteous way. Despite such a lesson from Solomon, we admire the life of Solomon before he knew God. If not all those of wealth, power, and wisdom, we wish for one of them at least. One of the bestseller books in history is Le Petit Prince, written by Anton de Saint-Exupéry, published in 1943. Part of it goes as follows. It is on account of the grown-ups and their ways. When you tell them that you have made a new friend, they never ask you questions about essential matters. They never say to you, what does his voice sound like? What games does he love best? Does he collect butterflies? Instead, they demand, how old is he? How many brothers has he? How much does he weigh? How much money does his father make? Only from these figures do they have learned anything about him. If you were to say to the grown-ups, I saw a beautiful house made of rosy bricks with geraniums in the windows and doves on the roof, they were not able to get any idea of that house at all. You would have to say to them, I saw a house that cost $20,000. Then they would exclaim, oh, what a pretty house that is. The power that makes you do not feel small facing the extravagance of Solomon is to think righteously. That is why God tells us to think about ravens or lilies. But we do not try to think. Sometimes we pray for God to allow not to think. It could look nothing lacks from outside, but there is almost no one who has no pain or a problem. People say if you touch 3 points of one's life, it would hurt at 1 point or more. The first of the three is regarding health. Oneself or one of the family could suffer from health problem. The second is financial problem. someone could not get out of poverty or has financial problems, serious or minor. The third is about relationship. There's no problem with health or financial conditions, but one could still have trouble in relationship with partners, parents, and children, or among siblings, so the relationship with family is not close enough compared to the past. Moreover, some family member could die suddenly and give pain of loss. Every death is grace of God to Christians, but it still takes time to accept. Our prayers are mostly focused on these three kinds of problem to be resolved or not even be caused. But are you sure you pray sincerely before God, maintain healthy spirit, and seek only God as the purpose of your life, even without such problems? Frankly speaking, I'm not sure. For me as well, it is frustration that will make me think deeply about what to look up and whom to rely on. The rich had both plenty of harvest and possessions that could not be even stored in the warehouse. So he thought he needed a bigger warehouse so as to keep his belongings for several years without worrying. Then God told him as follows. In chapter 12, verse 20, but God said to him, "You fool, this very night your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself?" God told the rich Ephron, meaning a man who does not think. You might ask, he would have thought, considering he tried to build a new warehouse to store all of the harvested crop. But the rich was considered foolish because he didn't know what to think, what not to. God did not say he was foolish to point out that the rich harvested a lot, so he tried to build a new warehouse. God did so because the rich did not consider the life after death. In verses 28 and 29, if there is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, how much more will he clothe you, you of little faith? And do not set your heart on what you will eat or drink. Do not worry about it. The first responsibility for children in family is to grow healthy in every way, including physical, mental, social, and intellectual way. If children should think, will there be breakfast tomorrow? Will my parents buy me clothes and shoes? Or would they send me a college after graduating high school? There's a problem in such family. Parents should give more than their children ask, and they will support their children until they finish studying. The best scholarship is given by their father and mother, so it's called FM scholarship. The original meaning of worry is to fly high. Empty desires and sick selfishness is up to the head. It would be like you are drifting with secular values and views and unnecessary thoughts. Jesus tells the reason that Christians should not prioritize basic aspects of life as follows in verse 30. For the pagan world runs after all such things, and your Father knows that you need them. The pagan world here means those who do not know God. They have no idea who is the Creator and who leads their life. So they have to live a life separate from God and worry, taking all responsibility for their life. In Luke chapter 15, the second son longed to get out of his home. So he went away with his share of inheritance. He thought everything would become free and he might want to go back after achieving a great success. But spending money is temporary, and the life is not controlled by him. Later on, he wanted to eat even something that animals would have, but no one paid attention. This is not just true for the Bible. It also goes to others who don't understand that God is our Father, like the second son who went away from home. The second son knew there is a house of his father to go back, but others forgot that they had father and it was inevitable for them to worry. Jesus told us about what to seek as Christians in verse 31. But seek his kingdom, and these things will be given to you as well. Jesus has told to give up desires and greed and not to worry. Then how could we abandon desires and live a life without worrying? Will it be achieved if we make our minds to abolish desires and not to worry? Can we just do that by reading books and listening to lectures under the same title? The best way that Jesus shared with us is to seek his kingdom, the kingdom of God. If you seek the kingdom of God and wish for the reign of God, you would understand desires have no value at all. And it rather exploits our life and faith. Worrying would become a stepping stone to trust God more. And we can seek his kingdom, the kingdom of God, because the Lord gave us such a country. Today is Passover Sunday, when we commemorate the Passion of Christ, who died on the cross to give us with his kingdom. The crucifixion of Jesus was testified in Luke 23:32-33. Two other men, both criminals, were also led out with him to be executed. When they came to the place called the Skull, they crucified him there, all with the criminals, one on his right, the other on his left. Jesus arrived at the place of execution with carrying the cross. The name of the place is the Place of Skulls. It was called so as many executions were held there, and the shape itself looked like a skull. But Jesus calls those who were sentenced to death, along with Jesus, the wicked. We are all the wicked and sinners. The cost of sin is death, and we are all subject to execution. So what happened on the cross is testified as follows. One of the criminals who hung there hurled insults at him. "Aren't you the Messiah? Save yourself and us." But the other criminal rebuked him. "Don't you fear God," he said, "since you're under the same sentence? We are punished justly, for we are getting what our deeds deserve. But this man has done nothing wrong." Then he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." Jesus answered, "Truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise." One of the criminals who hung there insulted at him, "Aren't you the Messiah? Save yourself and us." This will be the same as it goes if you really are Christ, as those you are under the cross mock you, "Save yourself and us." Then wouldn't it be great for you and us? This showed how much he was afraid of death and how badly he wished to be alive. But another criminal said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." This man asked for his kingdom at the end of his life. His request changed his destiny forever. Then Jesus answered him, "Truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise, or the kingdom of God." Even though this criminal had lived a life where he asked for desires and worried to take control of his own life by himself, he received the kingdom of God and became the people of his kingdom. Plenty of Christians envy this criminal. They would think how happy he was as he had lived whatever he wanted and still was saved at the end of his life. Is that so? Then ask those who received at the end of his life and became a Christian. What makes you regret the most in your life so far? Then the answers might be the same. "I should have believed Jesus earlier. I should have attended church earlier when my colleagues and friends asked me to. I deeply regret that I rejected the sincere offer from my wife, her husband, and my friend. I deeply regret why I was so upset, knowing that they prayed with tears. Jesus made our life intact and gave us his kingdom by being crucified and getting his body torn apart. Now, as those who received his kingdom, let us be built in the Lord and become the links to connect those who have disconnected relationship with God. If we, the people who receive the kingdom of God, are obedient, God will cleanse and renew this world through us. Then the resurrection of God we would meet will be much more glorified. Let us pray. Father God, we thank you for allowing us the Sunday of Passion and gave us the kingdom of God by being crucified on the cross for us, although we are destined to live with desires and worries. Help us live a life to seek the kingdom of God we received so that we don't fall for desires or selfishness again and are free from the secular views. We especially thank you for allowing us to have the special early morning prayer services starting tomorrow. May this service should not be an annual event, but become the time when we look back on our life, remembering Jesus Christ who suffered on the cross for us. May this service become the first step for the life of praying, allowing your grace to begin a day by praying in the morning and stay with God throughout our lifetime. Through laying down and emptying ourselves in life, help us experience that our life gets full with God and God's words so that we can become the people of praying and the people of words. May our life to seek the kingdom of God and to bow to God become the landmark toward resurrection and stepping stone. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.